Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
To go?
Yeah, you've just farted.
Yeah, I just farted, but I got to do a proper intro. It's the Jim Jeffries Show podcast. And now we do the jingle. Jim Jeffries Show podcast. It's the best podcast. I've listened to other podcasts and been disappointed. I'm here with my co-host.
And you're just going to act like that's the actual way you want to start the show?
That's the way the show is going to start until we find a theme song that we can all land on. I'm here with Forrest Shaw, my co-host and somewhat of a friend, but mostly a co-worker these days. I went through a breakup where someone said that the only friends I have are people that I work with, and that's not true. They were friends of mine before I employed them. We were friends before.
Yeah, and she's such a good person that you should take everything she says as fact. How about that?
All right.
And also, you went through a breakup. You've been going through a breakup for the last year with this person.
But we have.
You want to start the podcast?
No, we do. I agree with you, Tony. But we have to talk about your ex. I find this is the best story that's ever been told.
Before you do this, she told me not to tell anyone. I said, why? And she goes, because Jim's going to talk about it on the podcast. I don't think. We'll see. But I'll tell the story.
Tell that story?
I don't know.
It's a fun story. Both of you come out of the story really great.
I know, but she was like sheepish to tell me because, you know, we dated for so long and I think she felt bad that.
I'll tell the abbreviated version.
No, you don't have the abbreviated version.
I do.
Way to deflect from your shitty relationship, all right? How about that?
I don't even have a shitty relationship anymore. I'm relationshipless.
But
Forrest, relationship
with
yeah,
that's right. So
Forrest was dating a girl, lovely girl, still friends. I don't have a mean word to say about
it. We're still friends, yeah.
But her new boyfriend now is
not her boyfriend. She went on a date.
Okay, the guy she's dating now is the only single astronaut on Earth.
Yeah, only single astronaut in NASA. Yeah, I don't know about other countries, but in NASA.
Yeah, it's probably a Russian guy.
Yeah. So she was
Spudnik.
She was reluctant to tell me.
His name's Nick, but he looks like a potato, so they call him Spudnik.
You know what's interesting though is what happened was that
I didn't know we weren't allowed to talk about this. We can start. The whole
it's not that we're not allowed to, and I'll talk to her, and if what, we'll just have a weird edit at the beginning, but and we'll just get back into talking about your relationship.
All right, we're not going to talk about my relationship, but in case we need a weird edit. Yeah. And we're back. See, you can cut all of that right now. That's fine.
Well, we can't do it then because if you want more information. But yeah,
okay, we'll talk about it towards the end. We're here with Scott Zabilski.
Hey, what's up?
Zabinski.
No,
that's Zabilski.
Yeah, first time.
Now, Scott is a Holocaust denier.
No, 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 no.
No, Scott is in charge of our show, first of all. You should have mentioned that. Executive producer, showrunner of the show.
He's a producer of our show because that's what pays him. Because being a Holocaust denier doesn't pay the bills.
We'll get to that part. You're just selling random shit at the beginning of this podcast.
Let's start with this, Jim.
We haven't podcast since we were in Europe. We haven't been on the air for 4 months.
Scott has a lot of new wild views.
And what we're going to do first is we're going to try and focus it. Why don't we just go over your upcoming tour dates, and then we'll start the show.
The last time we podcast. Oh, upcoming tour dates.
Yeah, let's do that first, then we'll get into the podcast.
April 13th.
That got his attention.
Windstar Casino in the Thackerwickville, Oklahoma.
It's Thackerville, Oklahoma.
Thackerville, Oklahoma.
It's a casino.
Now, I'm willing to not have anyone at that gig. I don't want to tell you how little I want to come to Thackerville, Oklahoma, but if I stand on that stage and say it's good to be here, it's a fucking lie. But come along to that, all you fucking hicks. Bring your sister and your wife so they're different people and enjoy the show.
It's about an hour outside of Dallas, so it's not going to be this bad.
No, it's all right. Actually,
it's a little more cosmopolitan.
I love my Oklahoma people. Yeah. I hear Clayton Kershaw comes from Oklahoma, so I'm a big fan.
There you go. Maybe he's from Thackerville. I don't know.
Maybe he's from Thackerville.
Probably not.
Thackerville doesn't sound like a wholesome place.
It sounds like it's in Oklahoma. Thackerville.
Like,
could not
Thackerville
be.
Sounds like Wackerville, and Wackerville would be a euphemism for masturbating. Mm. I'm going to Wackerville. in the. All right, no one's with me. All right,
April. Do you want to do another edit break?
Yeah, no. This is how the show always goes.
That's what we should do from now on. Whenever a joke doesn't end, just go, and we're back. That'll be our thing. Yeah.
April 27th, I'm at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet, Illinois.
Joliet. Yeah, just outside of Chicago.
Just outside of Chicago. Why wouldn't I go to Chicago?
I don't know.
Because it's just outside of Chicago.
You're from Chicago. Is Joliet a good place?
Joliet. No, it's not. It's pretty far outside Chicago.
You're doing some
great
gigs.
What's happening with my booking? April 28th, the Overture Hall in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure.
Madison's fun.
That's a real city.
What, this is a bad time for me
no,
to
no,
be
no,
single.
Madison's
why can't
fun.
I be single and your gigs are like, Jim, you're in Vegas, Miami, and New York. Like, why does that have to be Wackerville, Joliet, and fucking Madison?
Yep. So those are the places it's going to be. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people from
this
podcast.
And look, Comedy Central want me to mention this. The clusterfuck. That wasn't an honest mistake.
Talking about the beginning of this podcast.
The Clusterfest Comedy and Music Festival, June 1st to 3rd in San Francisco. I'll be on there, but I don't want to plug it too hard because I've seen the billboards around town and I'm the fifth billing.
You're but low.
Actually, it's pretty fair.
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, no. I'm above Third Eye Blind.
No.
I'm above Third Eye Blind. Okay. I'm above Salt and Pepper. It's like Jon Stewart.
Third Eye Blind's above Salt and Pepper, which I think should be reversed.
It's Jon Stewart, Trevor Noah, Lonely Island, Tiffany Haddish, and then me. I think it's pretty fair. Actually, I think that's a fair thing.
And Trevor Noah.
Yeah, he's
Trevor Noah. I said
Amy
Trevor
Schumer.
Noah.
Amy Schumer's.
Oh, Amy Schumer's above me as well. Yeah, so I'm like number six or something on the billing.
But I think that's like what do you think you should be ahead of Jon Stewart, Amy Schumer.
This is what I feel honestly. Yeah. I feel like the Haddish should fucking be at the top, man. She's the person of the moment. I feel like she should be crushing all those cuts. Lonely Island. You sang a few rap songs, did you, lads? You know what I mean? The Haddish should be above it all.
Yeah, but being sixth is still better than your 11th most famous Australian.
Oh, that we have to talk about this. On Australian television, and this isn't part of the show, but on Australian TV, there's a show called 20 to 1, where each week on primetime Australian television, they list things like the 20 greatest cars of all time. This is what we do on Australian TV during primetime. This is like if NBC, when at 9 o'clock, this is the show we're running. So they go, the 20 best football kicks of all time, the 20 best whatever. Anyway, they did a show the other day, the 20 best Aussies in the world, and I came at number 11. Number 11. I didn't think they knew who I was.
Who's ahead of you?
I'll tell you who I beat at number 12, Margot Robbie. She can fuck off with her Oscar nomination because she's no Jim Jeffries at number 11. Hey, Keith Urban, why don't you suck a dick, number 14? I'm sure your wife got higher. Anyway,
Are these numbers, this is the most famous now?
I don't know what was
the
after
best.
That. Because
the best?
My parents.
The best Australians?
The best Australians.
Sounds like something you made up.
And so my parents were watching and they lost their shit. My brother recorded it on his phone. Now, I will say this. Out of the 20 people who are listed, because the next one was like, who's the basketball player at the moment, at number 10?
Simmons?
Yeah, Ben Simmons came at number 10. He's the guy in the NBA kicking ass for San Antonio.
No, for the 76ers.
That's a different player. Which one? Who's the one that's San Antonio?
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills. He's probably at number 16.
Ben Simmons, though, is,
anyway,
yeah.
So a basketball player who is doing reasonably well with his life is above me. Now, I'd have to say out of the top 20, I'm probably the poorest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the one with the least amount of money. Are you looking up right now? Are you trying to
I'm looking up the greatest of all time Australians, and I don't know if this is the actual order.
This is a show from this week.
No, but I just want to tell you.
From this week. It's not the greatest of all time.
I want to tell you something about your country right now.
I'm not beating Paul Hogan in 1988.
No. They don't have Paul Hogan at number one. They have some guy named Banjo Peterson. Banjo Patterson, a Bush
Banjo
poet.
Banjo Patterson.
He's the number one Australian of all time.
Of all time, but he was he's the Australian Shakespeare. He's the guy who wrote poems and stuff. He wrote The Man from Snowy River.
I never heard of any of these people until we get to...
Okay, give me number two. I'll tell you where it's going.
Number two, Sir Donald Bradman. A cricketer.
You don't fucking say that and not fucking get on your knees, son. Donald Bradman was the greatest athlete. This guy was
the greatest athlete. He's a cricket player.
No. The greatest athlete statistically of all time, right? His average was 99.8 or something like that. Now, his average would have been 100. He would have scored a century every game if he didn't get out first ball on his last inning, right? Now, the closest average to him now...
And we're back. Is, all right, so...
Wait. This is bigger than Pelé or anything. The closest average to him now is like 60. His average was 99.8. He's basically, Michael Jordan would have had to score 20 or 30 points extra each game to even get close to this cunt. Statistically, he is the greatest athlete ever in the second most popular sport on the fucking planet. So don't let's minimize it with your American fucking
shit. Well, I
want
to tell you that basketball is about to overtake cricket.
He was about 5 foot five. He's a little tiny fucking fella.
Basketball is about to take over cricket as the second most popular.
Anyway, so Don Bradman, give me number three. Give me because you can't. He's called the Don, by the way. You don't even call him Don Bradman.
I'm off that list. I can't find the list you were on. That's what I was trying to find.
Give me the other list that you're looking at. That wacky one.
It was Wikipedia.
Where I'm not at number 11.
It's the greatest of all our 50
Banjo
top Australians.
Howard
Florey is number three. He's a microbiologist.
No idea who that is. Never heard of him.
He's one of the discoverers of penicillin. Do you want to celebrate your country? Okay, there you go.
Did we discover penicillin?
No, he's one of the discoverers.
How is there one?
They all looked in the microscope at the same time.
No, but like, wasn't penicillin being discovered around the world? Did they call each other and go, who else has got a moldy orange?
I don't know if that's how it worked, but we'll go
all
with
right,
that.
So we actually did a fucking show today, people.
Yeah.
You're upsetting
let's get
me, Forrest, on
the
levels.
Show,
so. This is it. You're not getting any shitting yourself dumplings for that.
Okay.
All right. I don't think people heard the first bit.
We ordered some dumplings the last time we ate them.
Last time we ate them, we shit ourselves. But I'm still optimistic about the future of these dumplings. I'm very popular with them.
But what you know? What's a good product? What's that product?
Heineken.
No, the thing that makes you stop shitting.
Oh, Imodium.
Imodium.
I would do
top notch.
I would do.
You're probably not allowed to do advertising.
Do adverts for Imodium. No. This isn't paid thing. I would do adverts for Imodium, even if they didn't pay me. It's a product that works.
I think that can be arranged. You're
shitting yourself. You take a few Imodiums, you're right for the day. I love the stuff.
And what did it say on the side of the box? It was like, if you have any other problems, call this number. Like, it was just like a general thing. Like, hey, if you just want to talk out.
Oh, yeah, there's a thing on the side of the Imodium box. It's like,
other problems
did
you have?
And if this doesn't work, call this number. They don't even tell you to see a doctor. There's just some guy who sits on the end of the phone and just goes, you go, I'm still shitting myself. I've taken it. That's how confident Imodium are in their product. They put a false number on the side. There's no way someone's going to answer that phone. Like, because if you ring up, if you take Imodium and you ring that number and someone answers, the only answer they can have for you is you're dying because Imodium's that good.
All right.
Anyway, so
before we get into the show, I want to ask you a few questions. Oh, so God. Are you, how do you feel
Aquarius,
after the first show?
I'm Aquarius.
Oh, no. I'm the first show, your first show back.
I was very I didn't sleep last night. I look very tired. I'm 9 pounds heavier than I was in any other episode. Mm-hmm. You know how I care about the weight thing.
Yeah.
I get very exact about the weight, and that's why I ordered 14 trays of dumplings.
Right now. Yeah.
You've got 7 days before you have to be thin again. This is the
This is my plan. They're planning on having between 20 and 30 episodes. I just want to lose 1 pound an episode.
There you go. Well, in a way, I think these dumplings might help you lose weight, it sounds like. You might weigh less.
Scott was trying to be funny, everyone.
All right, we're back. That's why he's
a producer. His wife's laughing in the corner because she knows it's not a possibility. The constant disappointment that you must live through on a basis. Hey, Jack, can you hack it? How are you doing? Come up to the microphone for a second. Come up to the microphone for a second. You have to get me dumplings in a second because we're going to eat them on air.
Jack Hackett, everybody.
Jack's my assistant, Jack Hackett, and his catchphrase is?
Can you hack it?
You know you're going to talk and you're still putting food in your mouth. What's wrong with you?
Jack is a promising comedian. Actually, I better rephrase it. He's promising to be a comedian. have you done any extra gigs, Jack? How's that working out for you?
Good. I hosted an open mic yesterday.
Did you learn to put your mouth near the fucking microphone?
I assume they can.
Still not near the microphone. Yeah, no, there you go. There you go. Get in there. A little closer. Aim it towards your mouth.
There you go. Oh,
listen.
All right. Good job, Jack. They don't teach this in college.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to an open mic tonight, and then I have a show on Thursday. It's a cultural assembly.
What do you mean? You're doing a show at a cultural assembly?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
They asked the comedy group I work for.
The comedy group you work for. I'm the comedy group you work for.
What's your comedy group?
The comedy group you're associated with in your fucking spare time.
What's the name of your comedy group?
It's called Us Comedians. It's the group that hosts the open mic.
Why are you doing air quotes when you're saying that, too?
Which part? Who do I answer first?
Don't answer.
It's because it's CUSC, so us and then
CUSC University. Did you do well in March Madness? Is your team still in? Are you excited?
I think my team's still in. I'm pretty sure.
Are they still in? Forrest knows a lot about
USC. They weren't even in the tournament.
USC. I thought you meant my bracket. No, USC,
was in the NIT.
Who is your team in the bracket, Jack?
It's Kansas right now, and I don't know how they're doing. I haven't been.
They're in the Final Four.
They're in the Final Four. All right.
Yeah, you really follow basketball well. They're in the Final Four. And
Kansas,
then when
Missouri or when Kansas City, Kansas?
Kansas, whatever, the rooster, the bird.
Yeah, but there's a river that runs between it. The city's divided over two states. I want to say this to the people of Kansas. No one gives a fuck if you're from Missouri or Kansas, you dumb fucks. All right? Every time I'm on stage, I go, it's good to be in Kansas. They lose their shit and go, it's Missouri. That's your problem, not mine.
So when we were in Europe, somebody mentioned you on Twitter. I sent you a picture.
Oh, yeah.
They just said, hey, it was some country that doesn't speak English as a first language, because they go, good show tonight. Now, are you ready to hack it? Or something like that. Yeah. Are you ready to hack it, Jack?
She didn't say, can you, how's the dating life going, Jack?
Why?
What do you mean?
Oh,
is that what they say when they open your pants? What are you talking about? Why? What do you mean, why? So like, have you got anything on the horizon?
I don't think so.
Why not? You're an attractive man. You're an attractive man from certain angles. Why are no girls interested in you, Jack?
I just think I lack confidence, and I think
it's looks. You're very confident. There's no confidence that will overcome those looks, Jack.
Thank you.
Actually, now that I hear you say that, you're ugly and unconfident.
Oh my gosh! All right, thanks, Jack.
We did a show.
Let's talk about it.
We did a show today. First time back.
You said that three times.
Now what happened was...
Do you remember what it was about?
Yeah, let's quiz you.
Okay.
I'm sure Elvis never felt this with the Memphis Mafia.
True.
There was never a bit where Elvis had one of his mates that he employed where he was like, Elvis, you're a fuckwit. And then Elvis was like, oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, they didn't do podcasts back then, so I don't know.
That's Elvis would have done a podcast. It would have been the peanut butter and banana sandwich podcast where Elvis just talked about, hey, no one trying to do a shit. It's hard to do a shit. Anyway, so we did a show.
And our show was mainly about... March for Our Lives protests and protests in general.
Well, so obviously watched a different show than I did.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did. Sorry.
No, it was the March for Our Lives protest. Now, what happens on this show is when you watch the field pieces, people often think that we've gone to a lot of effort, and that's not what this show's about. What happens is we find out wherever I'm gigging. Right, so we did a whole lot of field pieces in Europe because me and Forrest just toured Europe. We did some podcasts from Europe, and so we find out wherever I'm gigging, and then Scott shows up. Right, sometimes it's in correlation with a Pride festival, but Scott shows up, and we do a field piece around wherever we are. Right, so like we'll probably do a thing in the coming year about
Thackerville,
or we might do a Thackerville piece.
We got a big piece planned for Thackerville. Yeah. It's a meth piece.
So on Saturday, I was going to be in San Diego anyway. Now, in my defense, I was in Portland the night before. Now, ordinarily, I would fly at midday down to San Diego, but I got up on the 6 fucking a.m. flight because Scott needed me in fucking... Because these teenagers who do these marches can't wake up at midday like a regular fucking kid, right? Why does a protest have to be so early in the morning? Can't you get more eyes on the thing if you do it mid-afternoon? Catch some drunk people coming home from work and get them on your side. But anyway.
Yeah, but we're West Coast. You got to do it for the time difference. So the East Coast.
They did it at the same,
Portland's West Coast. I was in Portland.
What time was theirs?
It's the same time as ours.
No. Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
I was flying from Portland. The problem was the march started at like 11.
Yeah.
And then I had to get from Portland to San Diego in time. So I had to get on a 6 a.m. flight, come down to Portland, and I was greeted by Scott. And where's Andrew Wontok?
But also, to be fair, Jim, like, you didn't – you were going to do the field piece about the march. It just happened to be you're going to be in San Diego.
No. We were going to do a field piece.
You're making it sound like you weren't going to – yeah.
We were going to do it in whatever town I was in.
Yeah.
It just so happened I was in San Diego, and that's why we chose San Diego.
It's good. You got good kids on that piece.
It's not – look down, Cameron. It's not that we were trying to dodge Samantha Bee, who went to Washington.
Your dumplings, sir?
But I got, no, 11 minutes, dumpling. Okay. You're on dumpling patrol in 11 minutes. And then people are going to watch us eat dumplings, Jack. Anyway, so I go down and meet Scott.
Hell of a podcast so far.
What? This is great.
No,
this
I'm just kidding.
Andrew Wontok's here. Ladies and gentlemen, the angel of darkness. Come and get in front of camera. Come over here. Come over here, you fuck. Right?
Jesus Christ.
So what happened?
It's an angry podcast today.
Now, hey, buddy. Now, I like you in many ways.
Okay. Cool.
That's enough out of you. Now, get back here. Get back here. Okay. But what happens is, Andrew is he's not good to me. What happened the other day when you said hello to me in the morning?
I said hello, and you started screaming at me, saying, I'm not answering any questions right now. I just got here.
Okay, but why was that?
Well, because I was holding a laptop.
Okay. See, if he's not holding a laptop, I'm very friendly towards him. Right? But if he's holding a laptop, it's always a question like, hey, Mary J. Bly wants to know if you can finger her, or whatever the question might be. It's never that exactly. Now we can't have her as an interview. I understand that now, and I apologize. But what happens?
He's not holding a laptop right now, and you just say, get in here, fuckhead, or whatever you just said.
I love this guy.
I don't like when you touch me.
Andrew Wontok is a moody man whose wife is too good looking for him. Would you agree with that?
No,
you should agree.
I agree with my wife too looking. My moodiness. I think I'm generally in the same mood.
All right. But anyway, his wife's very pretty, and Andrew looks like Andrew. And. Well, how's this guy? So we met down in San Diego, didn't we? We got down to San Diego.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we went to
San
Diego.
For the field piece.
And what happened? What did we do at the field piece?
We walked around the march, and we got a nice bit out of it. I think it was really funny. You were hysterical.
Was good.
Andrew, guys in the comments, you want a dumpling? Anyway, so what happens is... What happens is we do a march. We go down and see the kids marching.
This is act two. We did the field piece in the march.
We go and see the kids marching. Yep. And we go down. I was very tired because I'd just done two gigs. I'd done two gigs in Portland. I'm about to do two gigs in San Diego. And is this podcast going well for us?
It's going great.
Yeah, we're about to start.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so we go down and we do this march and we talk to the people. And Scott, you should take over. What happened next?
There was a huge group of kids down there. It was a kind of a mob scene. It was funny because I was walking behind you like 10 or 20 feet. And so like this is the place where you are the biggest celebrity in the world. People were afraid. Some people came up to you, but a lot of people
actually, the real place is Mordor, but anyway.
Okay, fair enough. But people, every time you'd walk past, they'd wait a few seconds. They'd go, that's Jim Jefferies. So you had a lot.
Now we have to preface this is so from my 2012 comedy special on Netflix Bear, where I did the gun control routine, I wore a leather jacket, a brown leather jacket that fitted me perfectly.
No, I don't know about
back
that.
In 2012. Back in 2012, it fitted me very well. And then when they said, this is Andrew's idea. Anyway, so they go, why don't you wear the same outfit as you did in the gun control routine, and then we can talk about gun control and whatnot. Anyway, it turns out...
That was Andrew's idea?
Yeah, it's Andrew's
idea. That
was
a good idea. That tied the whole piece together.
Anyway, it turns out the time hasn't been good to me.
Your relationships.
Yeah,
drinking.
5-year-old.
Breathing air.
Yeah. Breaking up my family, my kid crying every night. Anyway, so I tried to put the jacket back on, but it didn't fit as such. It didn't fit. And so I walked around San Diego wearing the outfit from Bear. Very snugly.
Yep.
Very snugly. And I felt very awkward. Now, there's things that happened. So what we did was we went around, we talked to the kids. Now, we wanted to have an angle in the field piece that we never actually showed in the field piece, where we wanted to show that I was out of touch with the kids. And sort of Samantha Bee did a similar thing. And so it's lucky we didn't do it in the end. But we wanted to show that I was a product of the 90s. So we had all these, what do they call them, placards? What do you call
signs.
Them? Signs. Yeah. We had all these signs made that were meant to represent me and my generation. And I wish this got into the field piece. But it didn't get in, right? So we had one sign that just said, we have In Excess of Guns with the In Excess logo, which
yeah,
I liked.
I like that one. Yeah. Right?
And then we had one that I liked. My favorite was like, what are you talking about, Willis? And on the backside it said, hopefully not guns. That was a fun one. And then there was one that said, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Yeah, yeah, I like
less guns.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
And so we did actually hold those up, but we thought it would be like a funny joke and everyone would laugh, but the kids were generally confused and upset about
it. Oh, they didn't like them?
Oh, yeah, we've got it. We got it.
I have this one. There's some other ones.
Oh, yeah. Ban.
What, okay. What are you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis?
Hopefully not guns.
Yeah.
I like that word, hopefully, is in there. Because it's like maybe he is talking about guns.
Great handwriting.
So, yeah, I didn't do it.
What's that one say?
Ban homework and also high capacity magazine clips. I wasn't there during that. I would never let that happen. So the first act of our show.
That was our second act, the field piece.
That was the second act.
And you were saying blah, blah, blah. You had to wake up early and stuff. But I mean, there were some really good kids down there in that field piece.
Oh.
Like there was like.
Oh, the
like,
kid.
You've only seen these Parkland kids speak. And like they're really
well,
good.
Not all of them.
Well,
not all of them.
Yeah, but for the most part.
Some
like,
of them couldn't make
that
it.
That one. But I know I'm saying. But the ones that in Parkland that I've been speaking online doing stuff. And they're like really well spoken. And they're like, you're just really impressed by them. And it just turns out like. Most of the kids are like doing that.
Someone has to produce this show while we're doing this podcast.
Why are you texting? Have you got dumplings coming?
Because the show is being made still.
Yeah, because
it's being edited.
Texting Chris, yeah. Who's editing the show.
Here's more signs. Here's the In Excess one, Jim.
Jack, dumplings. 4 minutes. We're gonna.
Here's
we're
In Excess. In Excess of Guns.
This is what never made it. Now tell, give me the. Tell you what I want. What I really, really want. Okay.
There we go.
See, I tell you what I want. What I really, really want. Fewer guns.
Oh, with the right? S, yeah.
And then we use the S from the Stussy sign. Remember Stussy?
Yeah, but that's like the S that the kids draw. Mm-hmm. That's more like what that is. Yeah.
There used to be a girl, yeah. Right, okay. when I was a kid, who I really fancied, who always wore Stussy, and we always used to call her Stussy Pussy. Is that offensive?
No, I think she would like that.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I can't see why she wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
Well, probably not now, but at 16, that
what
was...
rhymes with dick? That would be just as fun to have if you're a guy.
Dick Sporting Goods rhymes with dick.
I don't think that...
Dick and
that,
dick, I, dick and dick rhyme.
Ah, good point.
I got some Dick Sporting Goods.
Sick dick. Dick.
We should start Rick. This podcast soon.
So, yeah. So, that was act two. Is there anything
anyway,
else you want
so
to say
what
about
happened
the
in act one? I feel like all the acts were the same, you know?
Well, don't say that, first of all, but they were...
It doesn't matter. People already watched the show.
The first act, basically, Jim, if you don't remember reading it,
Scott,
was...
Scott, is this going well? I don't know if it's going well.
I think it's going okay. I mean, I think I like the show better.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's a little looser.
I'm not being paid yet.
No, that's... We can tell. Yeah. We know what's going on here.
Well, look, I'm keeping...
This is going to help you. What was that,
Tom? I'm keeping this fucking train on the tracks, brother.
No, I hear you.
I wouldn't say that, but...
Wontok dresses like my dad. You do. You dress like my dad if he's depressed. Otherwise, he's got a more of a colorful outfit.
So, anyways, what I was trying to discuss with you is our act one... even though there was a lot of similarities and a theme running through our show, our act one basically dealt with the fact that all these kids, organized these rallies and protests and marches across the country, even across around the world. And you would think that adults would be happy that kids are doing this, because generally what people say is, oh, they're always on their phones, taking selfies, they're self-absorbed, they're
playing
lazy.
With their Donkey Kongs.
Yeah.
And their Game Boys.
Exactly. But...
Doing that thing where they hit a circle with a stick down the road.
So you would think even...
Kicking the can like a bunch of morons.
Well, that's him. And so you would think that even someone that would disagree with what their message was would at least be like, hey, you know what, good for these kids. But of course there wasn't, because we know it's the usual cast of characters like Tucker Carlson and Rick Santorum and random people that have
the thing about Tucker Carlson is, yeah. You think if you knew a kid down the street called Tucker Carlson, he'd be up for fun.
I don't think the Tucker Carlson.
You know what I mean? You go.
He turned out exactly how his name is.
Yeah. No, you think Tucker Carlson, you go, your parents would go, you stay away from Tucker Carlson. He's nothing but trouble.
I wouldn't think so. No, I think he's a bow tie. That sounds like a bow tie name to me.
Yeah, he looks exactly and acts exactly how his name sounds. Tucker Carlson's like just a kid that got, maybe he got picked on or something, who knows, but he's just a complete dickhead.
Now, in that first act, it was a late entry. We were writing kind of right up to the minute, and you added that Trump golfing joke.
Which we wrote right up to the end.
It was my favorite of the episode.
You know, it was your favorite. We did a thing about how, like, during the march, Donald Trump didn't do anything. He actually
he left D.C. where the biggest march was.
Yeah.
Went to Florida where the shooting was. It was only 40 minutes, and I mean, a presidential motorcade, 30 minutes away from where the parkland was. So he had an opportunity to either go to the main march or to the parkland. Didn't do either, just golfed at Mar-a-Lago, and then avoided, had them redo the route to the airport to avoid getting anywhere near any protests. And so the joke that you made was great.
The joke was simple. It was that even though he played golf, he only played 17 holes in honor of the victims.
And the whole crowd groaned, which was really that's the first real groan without any laughs we've had, which was kind of like, it's good though, I think.
But that's the problem with comedy sometimes.
No, groans are good. Groans are laughs.
More dumplings, Jack.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No, Jack. Jack, stop.
Just hand him the dumplings.
Right. You're getting shit on my
drips all over his computer and his iPhone. Dumpling juice.
Just don't
he did
do
good,
that.
Jack. Don't worry about what Forrest says. Anyway,
now I'm having fun.
Anyway,
The thing please about get dumpling grease.
The thing
on
about
my shirt.
Jokes is sometimes you make an offensive joke about something,
yeah,
and then that something that's true, like him playing golf rather than standing up to what's happening.
Well, it was a 17 was the crown. Yeah, the 17. But 17
but he hasn't really acknowledged or done anything to change anything.
It's incredible how
you're the one who makes the joke about him doing shit, and then you're the one who gets the groan. Rather than he gets,
but a groan to me is still laughter. It's like people are afraid to laugh,
it's
so they have. Yeah, yeah.
It should be uncomfortable.
No, I take a groan as an orgasm.
But what's crazy is like he doesn't even address the rallies around. I mean, there's millions of people, and he didn't even address it. He still only had one press conference in over a year. That's like incredible.
That's all he did.
But he does a lot of public. Yeah. He does a lot of public.
Not press conferences.
Rallies. They're different.
Yeah. He goes and has people like, you know, stroke him off at rallies and stuff.
So what else happened in that act?
There was, you know what I really liked that you did? It was a change up too. There was a woman named Julie Gunlock, who is, you would think with a name like Gunlock, you would be a gun control advocate, but she's not. She's on the other side of that. And she's like the head of some weird, I don't know, it was like the institution for alarmists or something. Yes. It's like, some made up bullshit. And she was just so, like, just the worst. She was just like, and another thing, the kids should really learn about, like, where their sheriff department is and blah, blah. And she was just saying all this nonsense and bullshit. And it couldn't have been any more perfect because you just told her to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I kept watching that clip over and over, and I was like, fuck this woman.
It's the whole idea of these people who are just like, it's not the gun control problem, it's this problem, it's that the kids should do something different. And she's one of these people that would blame anything but the gun.
She's the director of Culture of Alarmism Project.
Which even is a weird job.
But, yeah, and her website is, I don't know what the fuck that says, but she's a senior fellow, the director of Culture Alarmism Project. I don't even know what that means. And it says she was a professional staff member on the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and I don't even know that. But she also is the author of the book From Cupcakes to Chemicals. Whatever that
like
means.
Oh, I like cupcakes and chemicals.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways.
That's the thing is, I've done a lot of problems with both. Cupcakes have been a demon for me throughout my life, and chemicals are something I've enjoyed. So I actually like that book, Cupcakes or Chemicals.
Yeah, we don't know about. Yeah, I have more followers than her on Twitter, so that's something. But anyways, she's a real piece of. But anyways, Rick Santorum is probably the worst of all. He's historically been just a bag of shit.
Yeah, but Rick Santorum's on
his guys. He's tried to run for president a bunch of times.
Every now and again you hear from him like, oh, maybe this time, and then no, he always never disappoints.
Well, as you watch that clip of him saying kids should learn CPR instead of protesting and asking their lawmakers to do something. You could see he keeps looking down as he's talking. Like, he doesn't even believe what he's saying at this point.
So he, but the one thing, and we, there's no way to like really write this in the piece, but I think it needs, can't be said enough. So Rick Santorum has his views on like homosexuality is what you would think they would line up with as far as being immoral and wrong.
So I assume incorrect.
Yeah. So in 2003, Dan Savage, a sex columnist and LGBT rights activist, that says, asked his readers to create a new definition for the word Santorum in response to Rick Santorum's view on homosexuality. And the winner was, Santorum is, quote, the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. So that actually, if you look up Santorum on Google, like you'll find some.
I have a jar of Santorum in my fridge.
Why would you have a jar in your fridge?
That's stupid. It doesn't have to be refrigerated.
Yeah.
So then we did the field piece, and then what was act three? So the thing is, the show was very similar throughout, but it had to be.
Well, that's what I was saying. The first act was we were kind of like trying to help defend these kids because we're these kids did a great thing, and there's still people that want to bring them down.
We did the history of protest.
We did the field piece where you actually went to the march and interviewed some of the kids and did that whole thing that we talked about already. And then three was a little bit of the histories of protest and kind of like, do they work? Do they not work? We kind of got into that a little bit. We looked at protests throughout history, and then at the end you kind of like, do these work, do they not work, sort of thing. And I don't know, I mean, I think the way we summed it up was
we tried to be like even handed with the whole thing. So we talked about the ones that have worked: Gandhi, Martin Luther King, civil rights movement, women's suffrage movement. We mentioned the 2009 Tea Party.
Yeah.
The tea baggers.
Which was really pretty successful. And it's the funny thing is, like, I looked this up. And
it worked. And that's how we got Ted Cruz.
And they really the reason that worked was there was numbers. People came out in numbers, and they actually did a study on the 2009 Tea Party movement, and they showed that the amount of people that came out to rallies for the Tea Party correlated with increased voter turnout and those people winning and actually taking control of Congress. And they said the only places where they showed a dip in that was affected by rain. So when people didn't come to rallies because of rain, like the voter turnout was low.
Why do people hate the rain?
So I think that
I'm not saying that all tea baggers were white, but
kind of the
all tea baggers were white.
Okay, you don't watch the same porn I watch, but all right, I think the porn.
Oh, Forrest.
I think the lesson to be learned though is that like now is like people say whether the protests work or not, but I feel like you can see that this is having an effect. Like these, not just the March for Our Lives, but the women's march that was last year, and you know the Me Too movement and so forth.
When people ask about whether it works or not, they're talking about the idea of like, are you ever going to change someone's mind? And I think it's hard to change people's mind. But kind of a point Jim made in the writers' room the other day when we were talking about it is, what you're really trying to do is get the people who already agree with you off their ass to do something.
Yeah,
you try to get people motivated.
Right.
Yeah, agree with you. See, the thing is, I once marched for gay marriage in Britain, right? Now, gay marriage doesn't affect me directly because I'm not gay and I don't believe in marriage. So on two levels, this isn't working for me. But I saw it as an equal rights thing. So actually, that was the first time in my life that I pound the pavement and I had a sign and I actually marched for something. And it's because I had gay friends who was so passionate about it that I thought, of course I agree with you, but was it enough for me to actually actively do anything? And that's what protest is about now. It's really like, you're not going to change anyone's mind. You're not going to flip the thing, but you have to get the people who are on your side energized.
Yeah. I mean, in Alabama, there's a Democratic...
I'm actively against people from Alabama.
But there's a Democratic senator now, which hadn't happened in, I don't remember, 50 years or something like that?
Yeah, but you know how hard it was to get a Democratic senator?
But it was like, I know there was like one demographic that was like black women that came out in record numbers to vote against this guy, and they were just like...
Well, I don't know what the average age of black women is, but
there's still there still is like something to be said for that. Like, that's happened.
The average age of all black women?
It probably varies.
Sure.
All black women in Alabama can't be the same age, right?
No, I would say zero.
They have to be numerous different ages, right?
105.
In Alabama, it's all over the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then... So yeah, I think, but like you said, I think he came to that conclusion, what we just said about protests, whether they work or don't work, it's about doing something and not doing nothing. That's what your point was.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna preach to people and say that I'm the most active person in the world who goes out and does all these things, but I like to think that I'm socially a guy that looks at the world around me or what have you.
Yeah.
But I'm sure other people who think against me think they're socially against it. So why don't we all just get on the pavement and fucking pound it out and decide who's winning?
Like a street fight?
That happened in Charlottesville, and there was problems.
These dumplings really settled you down.
Yeah,
that's great.
All right, so our act four was...
My tummy settled.
Our act four was a bit of fun. You,
I died.
Yeah, you're dead. You're dead.
I died, which as a comedian I've done several times. Yeah. But I officially died, and this is kind of weird. There was a post in a webpage called maltatoday.com which said that I died in a car accident. Not only did it say that I died in a car accident, but it also listed the vehicle I was in, the friend that was driving the car, and also the hospital that I was taken to when I died.
It's very specific, yeah.
Now, I got to say, now, my brother Scott's probably listening. You met Scott?
Yep.
You met Scott?
Yeah.
Scott's what, I don't know how to say it. Scott's what you call an asshole. And what Scott did was he actually forwarded the report that I had died to my mother with no other
no other information.
With nothing around it, no other information. Just
like, I thought you might want to read this.
Yeah, so, just forwarded it to her like, all right, Mum, here's your afternoon. And I got to be honest with you. Me mum took it in a stride pretty well. She wasn't as upset as we thought she was going to be.
Oh, my chair. I'm not going
to get her. Oh, yeah, you had to get her a chair. Yeah. You ain't got her chair.
My brother just got one bit of email back going, has anyone seen the will? And so
do they get anything if you die, by the way? Do they get anything if you die first?
Yeah, I've written a will that involves a few people. You're not involved.
No, I'm okay.
You don't get anything.
I wasn't asking.
I would feel like Hank gets most.
Yeah,
of
Hank.
Boris gets a pinball machine.
That's fair.
Not me.
What does Jack get? That's all I want to know.
Jack gets my respect.
Finally.
You leave it to him?
Yeah, which is something.
I left you my respect. It's in a drawer.
Yeah, which is something he never got in life.
Anyway, so
what happens is, so my mother thought I was dead and all that sort of stuff. So I looked at the whole thing, and then I posted out originally when... I just posted the picture of Jim Jeffries died in a car accident on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And the comment I wrote was something like, you think they could have chosen a better picture, right? But then people started like crying and shit in my message thing, like, oh my fuck, he's dead or whatever, like that, right? And so I had to re-edit the actual quote and go, I'm not dead in bold letters. It was nice to see that people would be upset if I was dead. I always assumed they wouldn't be.
What was that? Which movie was that? That you get to see what people do.
Oh, there's a movie?
No, wasn't that like an old famous movie?
Christmas, yes. Wonderful Life. Yes. Wonderful Life, yeah.
Angel Bandits 5 from Evil.
No, Wonderful Life.
Wonderful Life. That definitely was your, that Wonderful was your Life. Wonderful Life, where you could see what people would say. Yeah. But you could have, in retrospect, you said you wish you had let it go a little longer.
Yeah, I got it. Like I got sent the story 15 minutes after it came out, and I posted it right away. And if I had my time over, which thankfully I have now, I would have let it sit for about 2 hours.
Now that must have made you think, like, you know, life.
Well, in 15 minutes, no one did anything. No one did anything.
That's what you texted me, and you were upset. You're like, people are not. No one is contacting me.
Yeah, no one was contacting me. No one was upset.
I hadn't heard that you had died till you texted me.
I didn't contact you.
Yeah,
but
Forrest didn't care. Forrest was
I knew you were alive. I think I just talked to you.
He's like, this will free up my
Tuesday afternoons. No way you were in Malta. Like, yeah, in that time, like
that's what we knew.
But you know what's funny is like that reminds me of the time where you were counting the people that were going to come to your funeral. I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast.
Okay, ever, this links into, I just did Jimmy Fallon the other night.
There you go, segue.
I told a story about how I was on a shitload of mushrooms and I met Axl Rose. Right?
Yeah. Vegas.
Yeah, and there was cocaine, and there was Axl Rose, and there was mushrooms, mm-hmm. and then there was a big come down. I just bought a new car, so I decided to drive it out there. So we drove all the way back as I was coming down from drugs.
And me, you, and JJ.
Me, and I got saucy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I So I got very depressed and counted all the people who would come to my funeral.
Now, what happened is the next morning, JJ and
the number I came to was 12.
No, you had four. This is what happened.
Before I met Scott.
The next morning, JJ and I were sharing a room, and the next morning we were like, man, we haven't heard from Jim, whatever, and finally get a hold of you, and you just go, I've been counting the number of people that are going to attend my funeral, and I only got to four. That's all you said. So to make you feel better, we had to count people that were going to come to your funeral.
And that was that was including my corpse. Because my mom won't get on a plane because she's too fat. I'll tell you a funny story.
Yeah, but who did you think wasn't going to come?
Jack, dumpling me, right? Now, I'll tell you a funny story. So about 2 years ago, I went back to Australia to visit my parents. And she'll never listen to this. She'll never figure it out. What happened was 2 years ago, I went back to visit my parents. And I bought my father a brand new Mercedes
Jack,
Benz.
Can you put some dumpling juice on my computer, please?
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome. Yeah, put some hot sauce on there, too.
It's so good, boss.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'd like to eat one sometime.
What happened was...
This is good. Chew into the microphone, if you can do that, because that'd be great.
This is different.
And get a little more sauce on your shirt.
I see where Jack learned it.
Yeah.
You don't get this on other shows.
What if they look like one of those... What are those? The Horseshack, whatever, test for the psychologist?
Rorschach.
Rorschach. Sorry, yeah. Horseshack.
The Horseshack.
Welcome back, Carter.
Welcome back, Carter.
That's another Axel Rorschach story.
Anyway.
Yeah, keep
going. I brought my father Mercedes Benz a couple of years ago. It was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. I come into a bit of money through, you know, comedy and whatnot. And so... What happened was my father, who's been a maintenance man at a high school for the last 10 years of his life, I told him we were going to go out for a drink at a pub. Then I drove him onto a car lot. And on the car lot was a car, right? And it had a silk sheet over the top of it. And as my father walked on, the Mercedes dealership people said, "Hello, Gary, this is your car." And they pulled the sheet off. And I watched my dad almost cry. And he had this brand new Mercedes. Now, my mother is what you call a bitter, vengeful individual. She was very upset that I bought my father this car.
Yeah.
Right? She goes, "You bought your father a car. You do nothing for me." And she's a 350-pound woman who sits in a chair watching TV. So what I did was I bought a bigger television. Because that's her whole world, you know what I mean? It's not a fucking $90,000 car. But
she gets to sit in the car, too.
Yeah, she gets to ride.
They're married.
She gets to ride in the fucking car.
Yeah, she gets to ride in the car.
Right, so I bought her a bigger TV. Wasn't enough. Anyway, so I was just back there doing gigs. And my mother sits in this lazy boy chair. Now, if you know my stand-up, I have a routine where I call it the throne of misery. Now, the throne of misery was this lazy boy chair that my mum has been deeply sunken into. For many years, abusing children from her throne. Now, the springs have given up a long time ago. But anyway, she comes over there. I come over. I'm hanging out with my son. And she goes, "Oh, I really need a new chair." And then she reaches for the little armrest on the lazy boy, but the mechanism's too tight. She goes, "But the mechanism, it takes too much strength out of me to be able to do the mechanism." And then she goes, "I really need a chair so I can live a few years longer because this chair is ruining my quality of life." And then I'm like, "Oh, well, that's a shame." And I walk away acting like I haven't noticed. Then I come back the next day. There's fucking catalogs around the place, right? Open up to all the pages of the chair, right? And then the next day she's like, "Oh, life's hard. If only I had the PK92 from Lazy Boy, maybe I could live a year longer. But alas, I'll probably die in this chair," right? Okay, so obviously people who are listening, I've bought the fucking chair. I've paid for the fucking chair. The chair's on its way. It's coming in the mail. It's going to happen, right?
You got her other things too, right? Like a life alert?
I got a life alert necklace. I got everything to fall down.
Some special thing.
I got her the best walkers. She got the Mercedes-Benz of walkers. Anyway.
Did they take a sheet off it,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, like, yeah,
your dad has a Mercedes.
My mum's got no tennis balls on the end of the leg. She's got proper rubber balls that are meant to be there. Yeah.
She can play.
Anyway, so she keeps going on about this fucking chair. Anyway, so I've bought the chair. The chair's fucking coming. Anyway, the other day, She writes to me. She sends me an email. She's never sent me an email. She normally rings or bothers in other ways. And she writes me an email. She goes, I need $6,000 for this chair. This is the only thing that will save my life. Which, like, fuck you. Like, but anyway, it's the only thing that will save my life. She goes, I can afford to pay you back $150 a month if you lend me the $6,000 so I could get the chair. Because she's just milking for me to go, that's oh, buy the fucking chair.
$6,000 chair? This, what does it do?
This thing stands you back up.
Ah,
it's
yeah.
It's not just a chair. You sit down and then a mechanism puts you back into a standing position.
What happens to your cups in the cup holder?
Oh, no, no, no. The cups just pour on the ground.
Are there speakers built into it?
No, 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 no.
It
anyway,
stands you up. Okay.
Anyway, so she wants this chair. She wants this fucking chair. So I've already ordered it. It's 2 weeks out. She's already getting it. But she sends me this obnoxious email. She won't listen to this podcast. But what I've done now is, and I'll update you next week. What I've done now is I sent my mother back a payment plan. I sent her back a letter saying there's no way that you'll live long enough to pay off the chair at $150 a month. So I really had to up your rate to $175 a month if I'm even got a slight chance of getting my money back. I've given her a reasonable form of interest.
Oh, that's nice.
6%, which is good for a small loan.
Yeah, for a small
loan. If it was a home loan, she'd get 3, bad credit card, 12. I'm very generous. I've given her a 6% interest rate that she has to pay off. So it's going to take her around 12 years to pay off the chair. To be honest with you, I think that's very nice. I think she'll be dead in 6. But, you know, so she's paying off the chair over 12 years. And so I sent it off to her. And then I rang my brother up. I got him involved as well, right? I said, you have to go over there. I've told her that she can't sign the contract online.
Oh, it was your other brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got Danny involved. Okay, yeah, Danny.
So one of my brothers is going over to get my mum to officially sign the contract.
They got to get it notarized?
Yeah, it's got to be notarized. That she'll be. Now, this is the bit that blows my mind. She goes, I'll pay $150 a month or I'll pay $175 a month. She's retired. There's no income. It's like you either have the fucking money or you don't. There's no like, oh, when I reach payday, there's no more paydays. It's fucking done. So anyway, so if you're a friend of my mother's and you're listening to this, can you go over to the house and say something like, it's really generous that Jim was offering to give you this loan. We've got 2 more weeks of fucking her over on this particular chair. So if we can keep pumping that into her, that'd be great.
All right. That's great. You know what you need to tell next time? I'll tell you. Is that chocolate sea story. That'd be funny too, since you're going to go down this route.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I think we're good, right? I mean, you think we got enough? Super professional.
Was it entertaining? It's kind of entertaining.
The dumplings, actually.
I mean, your shirt's entertaining.
It took a good turn on the dumplings.
That was good. I will say this to promote the show. Let's do that real quick. Our podcast email is jeffreyshowpodcast@gmail.com. We get emails all the time. We haven't had any in a while since we haven't had the podcast on, but I will read through some of those next time. And then @jeffreyshow is our Twitter handle. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, tweet to us @jeffreyshow. And please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. And then, oh, we got to promote one more Twitter handle. Sorry. Remember when we were on the train at Heathrow?
Oh, yeah.
Jim and I, when we were traveling, we were at Heathrow Airport.
This might mean for us laugh for days.
It's very funny. The Twitter feed is ridiculous.
What airport was it?
It's Heathrow.
It's Heathrow.
Heathrow. Yeah. We're on a train. You know, you go on those trains to go to different terminals. Heathrow T5 transit train has its own Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And on the T5
transit thing, they actually put a sign up going, please follow us.
Yeah.
Like, who's sitting on the train that gets you from Terminal 5 to Terminal 4 and thinks to themselves, I better follow that Twitter handle and what they're up to?
Well, there's 131 people following it.
131, but we're gonna build this.
Yeah, at T5 Transit. At T5 Transit. And here's something they'll retweet you if you say, "Hey, huge thanks to T5 Transit for getting the Dragon Boat team to our gate in time." It's a fucking train. That's all it's supposed to do. Like,
here's the thing. Kind of if you were at Heathrow and you're on T5 Transit, if you have a good experience, write to us. If you have a bad experience, write to us.
Well, write to them.
Tag us at Jeff and Show
and at T5
but
Transit.
But even if you're just on it and you've flown for 24 hours from Sydney and you're on the T5 Transit, hey, give them a follow.
Yeah.
They're very passionate about that. They've left that up on their train.
King Coolgy said, "Thank you, T5 Transit, for your services." What the fuck are they talking about? It's a train. That's all it does.
Here's someone that sent a photo of their kids in T5
Transit.
Yeah,
some kids on there. There's some sarcastic ones for sure on here, too. But that's what we're kind of... Here's just had a fantastic tour of T5 Transit facilities at the Heathrow. It's just ridiculous. But anyways... So follow ours first, at Jeffrey Show, then at T5 Transit. Mine is at Forrest Shaw, and today
I'm going as far to say, if you're truly like me as a comic, cancel my subscription on Twitter and follow them.
It's not a subscription. And you can follow both.
No, I just don't want them to follow me if they follow T5 Transit.
You mean your personal one or the shows?
Yeah, I want them to cut me off just to follow that.
This doesn't make any sense. Why?
All right, don't do that. Just follow T5.
You can follow both. You don't have to subscribe to it. It's not a magazine.
Yeah. Scott Sabunski.
Yep.
What do you got going on in your life?
This, man. I live and breathe this show.
You got any new kids?
Nope.
Since I last talked to you? You just got the two?
Yeah, that's the two.
Out of your two kids, which one do you like the most?
Probably the one who can talk.
Jack.
But now the second one's starting to talk, so it's...
Jack's a good one. A good one.
Well, that's good, because they'll probably never know how to listen to podcasts and hear this, so that will never... Kids don't know anything about technology.
I didn't even know you had another one, so that's nice.
You don't know his name, I bet.
Leo.
Well, I was saying this one the other day. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that Jim does not know my second kid's name, and I was right.
Do you know the name of my second kid?
No.
Neither do I.
Yet? Or...
No,
there's
probably one.
Okay.
I want to promote
your wife's
something.
Why is it Genevieve?
Okay.
Whoa.
Just got to try to promote my thing.
He does know her name now.
Genevieve.
That's pretty impressive.
Which one's your favorite child of the two?
She's going to give the stock answer.
You can't choose. Wait, Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
You can't choose? Have you ever dated a guy better looking than Scott? And your life's been horrible.
Wow. Okay. Well, here we're back with the podcast. So, like I wanted to say real quick, today I had something come out called Poor Decisions. I shot it in Miami. It's on Amazon, Google Play, and a bunch of other crap. If you go to my Facebook, my Instagram, or my Twitter, which is all Forrest Shaw, there's all links there. So please watch that. So somehow I'll get money at some point. I don't know. Maybe I might not. I have no clue. Probably not.
There's no money in comedy.
Yeah. So just watch it. And T5 Transit. And at Jeffrey Show. That's the most important one.
More important,
you can subscribe to both.
T5 Transit. That's the one I want.
Hashtag us if you do T5 Transit.
T5 Transit.
I don't know why it's going to help our show, but it'll be fun.
No, but just write something like, had a good time on T5 Transit. Got to the luggage carousel. Awesome.
Yeah.
You got to say something like that.
Yeah, also great Jeffrey Show.
London's more multicultural than I thought it was. Whack or something. I don't know.
Lit AF. T5 Transit. That's
Scott,
what
you haven't been very chatty.
No. You guys are entertaining. I'm just enjoying.
We've wrapped it up three times now, so let's go for four.
Let's have a conversation. Just you and
I got you a bowl of pickles.
All right. You ready to wrap it up, Jim?
Good night.
Say bye.
Good night, Australia.